Hello, and welcome to this very first episode of GUR Codes. In addition to my blogs, I'm going to try to put up a vlog, and this is the very first episode, and there's probably a lot more to come. I will be talking to you about Xamarin and Xamarin Forms, and I will be separating them, dividing them in different levels, just like the Microsoft session levels. So level 100 for entry sessions, level 200, 300, and they get more technical as they go higher. And I hope you learn something from them. I hope you enjoy it. And well, for this very first episode, I'm going to start off with a simple level 100 session, which will show you how to set up your first Xamarin Forms application. Basically, this episode is just for me as well to try out how things works and how things go. So let me know what you think, and here we go. So I will be using Visual Studio Enterprise, which actually became RTM yesterday at the Build Conference in Seattle, which is going on right now. This is how it looks, Visual Studio for Mac. Probably it will eventually replace Xamarin Studio, which is basically the same thing with a different name, but Visual Studio for Mac also has additional features which let you easily couple with Azure services and that kind of stuff. You can also work with ASP.NET Core or .NET Core applications already. So it's pretty amazing stuff, it's pretty cool. But let's just stick with Xamarin Forms applications for now. So let us create a new project. As you expect from a Microsoft product, you will be presented with a wizard, which looks like this, and it has lots of templates which you can use already, multi-platform ones, so you can build an app, a Forms app, which will already have a ASP.NET Core Web API backend, or just a blank Forms app, which is just the mobile apps. And you will also have some templates for Xamarin iOS, Xamarin Android, and .NET Core, as I talked to you about earlier. For now, let's just stick with a blank Forms app. Click Next. And we have to give it some meaningful name, so let's just go with the GUR Codes intro for now. Beneath that, you will see the organization identifier, which is always a reverse domain. If you have worked with mobile apps before, you will know that this is the unique identifier that your app will be using in the app stores and that kind of thing. The end user probably will not see it ever, but it's a nice thing to know. You have to fill it in at a couple of stages when working with things like push notifications and signing your code and that kind of stuff. Because we're working with a Xamarin Forms application, you can choose between Android and iOS. On Windows, you would also automatically get the UWP app with it, but that is not supported yet on a Mac, so we're stuck here with Android and iOS. You can just click whatever you want. Of course, you have to choose one of both, because else you're not even creating an app. So for now, let's just click them both. And as a last option, you can choose whether you want to use a shared library or a portable class library for your shared code. Now, on the internet, there is a lot of discussion going on what is the best method to do this. Basically, it comes down to a portable class library creates a separate DLL with the shared code, but it's physically a shared of it's physically a separated DLL file, so the code is actually separated from the platform project. If you would use a shared library, you would just get a folder which is shared between the two projects, and all of the code in there is directly compiled into your app as well. And you would have to work with compiler directives and that kind of stuff to differentiate code for a specific platform. Whereas a portable class library, you have to use the dependency service and that kind of stuff. to reach platform specific code. And well, basically at the end of the day, both methods can do the exact same thing. It just comes down to a matter of taste, which one you like. I personally tend to like to use the portable class library, and it probably will be replaced with .NET standard libraries somewhere down the road. Another decision for you to make is whether you want to use XAML for your UI code, or you can just create your UI in C# code. That's an option as well. Here I like to use XAML. It's an XML-based language, as we will see in a little bit, to design your UI. And I don't know, it just has a bit more overview, and it feels a bit cleaner to have your UI have really separated from your code. So I'm going to use XAML throughout this video and probably all videos after this one as well, because I like to use it. If you uncheck the box here, it doesn't mean that you cannot use XAML in your project anymore. It just means that the default page, which is generated for us, will be made up out of XAML instead of code. If we click next, we have to decide on the project name, and you can also specify a different solution name if you'd want to, and the location where you would want to save this project. You could also create a Git repository for it already, which will create a local Git repository. It won't make any connection to GitHub or VSTS or whatever. It will just create a local Git repository. I'm not going to do that right now. And you could also choose to include a Xamarin Test Cloud project for you already. I'm not going to do that now also, so I'm just going to create a new project. And after we've clicked create, it will do a little generating for us, and we will be presented with our brand new solution, which you can see here on the right. Let me see if I can get this a little bit bigger for you. So on the top level, there's our solution file, which we have named the GurCodes intro, like we have the rest of the project. And underneath that, this is our PCL, which contains our shared code. This is where you want to add basically all the code you're writing, because if you have all the code in here, that means it will automatically be used within your Droid project and your iOS project. So this should be your complete app. Of course, you can create some separate DLLs for clean code, but basically you want most of the code to live in here. I will get back to you in a little bit on this. Beneath that, there's your Droid project. This is basically the bootstrap for your Android project. So if we look in here, you can see some Android specific stuff like assets or resources. And when we go into that, you can see the icons associated with it, etc. Also, you see an Android specific main activity. This is just used to bootstrap the application for Android. As you can see, it redirects some Xamarin Forms stuff and loads the new application, which is a new app, which points back to our PCL, where the app object is living. And the same basically goes for the iOS project, where you have some iOS-specific stuff. And here, so in the app delegate, there's also some bootstrapping code which will point back to our shared code to launch our app. So we will be focusing on Xamarin Forms, and in this shared library you will see a couple of things. If you haven't worked with Visual Studio for Mac before, there's a couple of nodes. It looks just a bit different than Visual Studio, but it can all do the same thing. So here you have your references. This is just the references to DLL files you might have. You can see there's a whole lot of them under here already. They're separated into the .NET portable subset, and DLLs references that you have from packages, which are the NuGet packages, and you can find them under the separate packages node right here. And here you see Xamarin Forms is installed already, so that's great. If you want to add more, you can just go right click, add packages, and you'll get the NuGet package manager from right here. So you can search for packages and add them as you'd like. We don't like to do that right now. So here we have our app object, which is basically the app that's going to run. And if we open it, you can see it doesn't do quite a lot right now. It will just create a new page that's generated for us and assigns that to the main page property, which effectively sets the page for our application and shows it to the user. There's also a couple of more events here, on start, on sleep, on resume. In the comments you can already read what that does. Basically, these are the events that are handled when your application starts, sleeps, so it goes to the background, or when it resumes, so it comes back from being on the background, and you can execute code from here. The app also has a XAML. Do not mistake this for a separate page already. The only thing you can do here right now is to specify application resources. So these are application-wide resources you can set here, and these resources can be used throughout your whole application. So here you can set some colors or themes or that kind of stuff that you can use throughout your whole application, so you can easily change them from one place. So if we would look at the page that was generated for us in XAML, you can see it right here. Let's get this a bit smaller again. And also one very nice thing is the previewer. It has an error message right now. I'm not sure why. Let's see if we can get it to show something fancy. And if we look at the left side of the screen, you can see already this is our page in XAML. So as you can see, it very much looks like XML, because that's based on XML, so that's not a surprise there. And you can see how it is all defined with nodes and attributes and that kind of stuff. On the top level, you can see the content page with a couple of namespaces attached to it, and it specifies which class is associated with our page. And within our content page, we have one label, which says Welcome to Xamarin Forms, and it is centered within our screen. And on the right side, you now see that our preview has loaded, and this is what our page looks like on iOS, and this is what it looks like on Android, and we can switch around with the orientation or how it looks on a tablet and that kind of stuff. It's not an editor, it's just a XAML preview, so if we would change it here, welcome, this changes the preview. You can see that it's live edited on both platforms. So this is really neat, this is really handy, because before we had this kind of goodness, we had to rebuild, go into the simulator, and only to find out that the color is one pixel off and you have to rebuild again and that kind of stuff. So it took a long time to get your UI right, and now you can just fix things and see it pop up here in the previewer already. So that's pretty awesome. So you can imagine there's a lot of controls already delivered with Xamarin Forms. On the highest level, you have the page, and there's a couple of different pages. The content page is just a blank page, like you can see here. But if we were to change this to a tabbed page, you can work with tabs, and a tabbed page has children, which will be the pages under. And we would need to change the content page here to a tabbed page already. Also, I mean, And here we need some children, so let's create a new example page, the tab one page, and I want to see the example, yes. And let's put the label in here. Label text is, this is tab one, and let's center it as well, is, oops, center, horizontal is center, oh come on. Center. Okay, probably need to rebuild this to get a preview going. Let's just hide it for now. And I can add here this children, a child named tab one page, which is in the local namespace. So if you haven't worked with this kind of stuff before, this is the default namespace, XML NS, XML namespace. So this is the Xamarin Forms namespace. And if you need controls or views or any other stuff from another place, then you have to define your own XML namespace here, which they have already done for us. This one is called local. You can put in any name here. I could also say Gur codes. And then I would have to update this here as well. And here you can say, okay, my controls that I want to access live in this namespace, which corresponds with our namespace here. If this would be another namespace like pages, then I would have to update it to pages here as well. Let's not do this for now. Just keep it like this, and you can add a whole lot of these if you want to. Also, if it's in another assembly, so if you have created another project which delivers another DLL, you can specify the assembly with okay, my other DLL. So there has to be an DLL file which is called my other DLL, and in this DLL it will search for this namespace, and then it will know which objects live in that. If it's all in the same assembly, then you can just omit the assembly part here, and it will know to look for in the same assembly that we are working right now. So now we have one tab here, and there's a tab bar which appeared here at the bottom for iOS, and if I were to give it a title, tab 1, you would see that here is some title coming up as well, and I could give it an icon as well. I think icon, is that a thing? Is that a resource in my project? No, it's not. Okay, doesn't matter. You can add icons if you want. Also, if you would want to add another one, just repeat the same trick. Add new file, content page, tab, oops, tab 2 page, new, and we can just copy and paste this, 2, and the tab 2 page, and this would just be a blank page, so I can switch in the previewer. But if I just run this now, it will bring up the iOS simulator in a little bit. And it will show the app running in the iPhone 7 simulator, where we can click around between the separate tab pages and see that our very first app is working as it should be. It will take a minute to boot up. There it is. And here we can see our first app. This is tab 1, tab 2, and you can switch between them. And we've created our very first app. Hooray! So let's see what there's more. Our tab 2 page is a bit boring. It has nothing. So let's add a bit of content to that. Let's hide the previewer for the spoiler alerts. Now, in a page, you can have layout, elements, so one of which is the stack layout, which I will be using here. A stack layout basically just stacks controls on top of each other, or you can set it to horizontal and then it will put the controls next to each other. So you can just say stack layout orientation is horizontal or vertical. By default it will be vertical, so let's just keep it with that. And if we put in another label with text, this is tab 2, and now we're not going to align the label, but we're going to align the stack layout. So horizontal options is center and vertical options is center as well. Center. And there's also a button in the Xamarin Forms toolkit. Click me. And now if we run it again, we would see a label and a button on our second tab. And the button looks like how you would expect it to look on the iOS operating system. And as you would expect as well, on the button you would also have events like clicked, and you can say, okay, I want to have a handle clicked, and you can put it in your code behind. Here you can then say, I want to display an alert, so we can say button clicked. And let's put in the good old hello world in here, world, and some caption for the cancel button. The Android emulator is nagging me here. And if I would run it now, then you would get a pop-up, a alert, which shows this little dialogue we have configured here as part of our event. So here we go, this is tab 1, and tab 2 has this little button, and when we click it we get the alert as we would expect, and how we would expect it to look like on iOS. I'd love to show you how it looks like on, what it looks like on Android, but unfortunately just before I started recording this video, I've upgraded my system with the newest Visual Studio for Mac and that kind of stuff, and it actually broke my Android setup, so you just have to believe me that it works. Well, actually that's a nice challenge for you to try out yourself. So go recreate this. I'll put my code up on GitHub as well and put the link with this video. So go ahead and try to get all this running for Android and see if it works for yourself. So let's just go back to these tab page and the layout and stuff for a little bit. I was using a stack layout here, which is actually, I mean, you can use it, but it's not very optimized, so it's kind of an expensive layout element. So you probably want to use a grid, which is also a layout element in Xamarin Forms. And a grid, of course, you can divide into multiple different rows and columns. So if we were to create the same layout as with the stack layout, you would here have to put in the row definitions, and this would have a row definition. Actually we want two, and we can give them a height, which can also be auto or star, if you want to take up the whole height of the that is available. And you can now per control say, okay, this is on grid row, grid row 0, and this should be on grid row 1. And now it will look the same as that we use the stack layout, but the grid is a bit more optimized. It knows how big stuff is going to be, so it has a lot less calculation to do. So if we run this, then the screen should come up as well. We did this in tab page 2, and here you see there's no visual difference between the stack layout and the grid, but if you can, use the grid instead of the stack layout. And there's a couple of controls more. Check out the Xamarin pages for that. Another one that you will probably use a lot is the search bar, which will create a very cool search bar at the top in case of iOS and in case of Android as well. And you can give it a placeholder text. Search here. And you can also give it a background color if your navigation bar on the top has a different color and that kind of stuff. And together with a search bar, you probably want to use a... Let's put this in a stack layout again. You will probably use a list view, which will give you a list in which you can show items. Right now it probably will be a empty list, or not probably, I know for sure it will be an empty list. So let's see how it goes. Tab 1, tab 2. Here is our search bar. It's beneath our status bar. That's another kind of thing. And here's our list view without any items. First, actually, that's kind of interesting. Let's look see why our search bar is behind the status bar here. This only happens on iOS. iOS lets you draw behind the status bar. So Android doesn't. Android starts with drawing beneath the status bar. So if you would now want to... we are using Xamarin Forms, so all the code should be shared and should be the same for all platforms, and it will look good on all platforms. But here we have to make a difference between iOS and the rest of the platform. So how can we do that? So if we want to create a different value per platform, we can just say, okay, here we have our content page, and we want to set the padding for it. So you could also set this as an attribute for our page and do it here, like padding is, and you can format it like this. But this would set the padding for all platforms, and that would make it look weird, because in Android then you would have 20 pixels all of a sudden underneath the status bar as a white space. So we don't want that. We want it just to be for the iOS platform. So we're going to specify it like this, content page padding, and then we can say, okay, on platform, for some reason the IntelliSense doesn't pick this up. We can say x type arguments is thickness. I know this because I've done this a lot of times. And then inside of this we can say, no, not this one, on platform is, okay, iOS, and value is 0.20.0.0. It specifies the padding from left, top, right, bottom, and we just want the padding on the top, which is 20, which is how big the status bar is for iOS. And when we run it like this, we will see that the status bar is cleared of our search bar. Again, I would show you on Android, but I've really foobarred my Android, so that's not going to work right now. And we can see the search bar is underneath the status bar. Okay, so now if we would want to put some items in our list view, let's just give it a name. My list view, very nice. Whoops. And go to the code behind. And now here in our constructor, we can say, okay, my list view dot item source is new list of string. And let's initialize it with some strings. First, second, Poo, and of course Unicorn. And this way you would have a couple of items in your list view. Of course, if you start working with MPVM and that kind of stuff, you can add items through data binding, and I'll be probably be talking about that in a next video. But this way you can quickly add some items to your list view. There's just one more thing I want to show you. I mean, there's a lot more to discover, but I'll let you do that for yourself. So just let me show you one more very handy thing, which is the XAML compilation. Because if you work with XAML like I did, it's very easy to just create invalid XAML. I could, for instance, create some attribute here that doesn't exist, and it won't give you any errors right away, so you will only discover runtime that this is not going to work. If I was going to start my app right now, then it will come up first, and then it will tell me that, oh no, there's an error and there's no property foo that you can use. But you want to know this at compile time, right? So there's a couple of levels that you can do this, but I just like to do this on my app object, or actually namespace. I want to use on assembly level XAML compilation, and we need to add a using here, and then we can say okay, compilation options dot compile. So now it will compile every XAML that is in this assembly, which will check for errors. So if I was going to build this right now, it will give me a build error instead of just a runtime error. So here it will say okay, foo is not found, the exact same error that we got earlier. And but you can fine-tune this a little bit more if you want to not compile for a certain class or whatever. You can put this attribute above a certain class and say okay, I want you to skip it or whatever. You can play with this, but I just mostly use this on assembly level to compile all my XAML in this assembly, and that's that. Okay, so that's it for this episode. I hope you learned something from it. At least I did while recording this. So the next one will probably be better than this one, and I hope to improve from there. But please let me know what you think. I'm happy with any feedback. Just hit me up on Twitter, jfversluis, or hit me up on my email, and I will get back to you. So thank you very much for watching, and until next time.